February 21st. Our reading today in the Old Testament will be from the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, and we'll go through chapter 12, verse 8. We'll see that it did not take long for sin to enter the priestly family. After a great experience with the Lord, beware the enemy's attack. Elijah ran away after the great victory at Mount Carmel, and Jesus was tempted after his baptism at the Jordan. Great blessings sometimes mean great temptations. 11 times in chapters 8 and 9 you find the phrase, "The Lord commanded." Nadab and Abihu did what the Lord had not commanded, and the fire of God killed them. At the beginning of new periods in redemptive history, God judged sin in a dramatic way so that the people would learn to fear him. Did their sin have something to do with strong drink? Paul's admonition in Ephesians chapter 5 is appropriate here. "For there is no acceptable substitute in ministry for the power of the Holy Spirit." Aaron obeyed the spirit of the commandment, but not the letter. Had he obeyed the letter, he would have been insincere before God, and God would have known that his heart was not in it. Moses looked at the outward appearance, but God looked on the heart. God knows your heart and understands you, even when others are critical. And in chapter 11, we'll read about defilement. Chapters 11 through 15 focus on the concept of clean and unclean in the areas of food, disease, and normal bodily functions. Although the laws certainly served a practical hygienic purpose, there was also a spiritual principle involved. As God's people, Israel had to be separated from everything that God called unclean. Other nations might be able to do those things, but the Jews could not. Defilement spreads, and one person's carelessness could affect many people. And we'll read about discernment. If they wanted to be pleasing to God, the people had to exercise discernment. The priests were supposed to teach them God's will. The dietary laws were temporary, but the principle is permanent. Believers must have discernment and avoid what is unclean. And now let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. February 21st, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Give the following instructions to the Israelites. The animals you may use for food include those that have completely divided hooves and chew the cud. You may not, however, eat the animals named here because they either have split hooves or chew the cud, but not both. The camel may not be eaten, for though it chews the cud, it does not have split hooves. The same is true of the rock badger and the hare, so they also may never be eaten. And the pig may not be eaten, for though it has split hooves, it does not chew the cud. You may not eat the meat of these animals or touch their dead bodies. They are ceremonially unclean for you. As for marine animals, you may eat whatever has both fins and scales, whether taken from fresh water or salt water. You may not, however, eat marine animals that do not have both fins and scales. You are to detest them, and they will always be forbidden to you. You must never eat their meat or even touch their dead bodies. I repeat, any marine animal that does not have both fins and scales is strictly forbidden to you. These are the birds you must never eat, because they are detestable for you: the eagle, the vulture, the osprey, the buzzard, kites of all kinds, ravens of all kinds, the ostrich, the night hawk, the seagull, hawks of all kinds, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl, the white owl, the pelican, the carrion vulture, the stork, herons of all kinds, the hoopoe, and the bat. you are to consider detestable all swarming insects that walk along the ground. However, there are some exceptions that you may eat. These include insects that jump with their hind legs, locusts of all varieties, crickets, bald locusts, and grasshoppers. All these may be eaten. But you are to consider detestable all other swarming insects that walk or crawl. The following creatures make you ceremonially unclean. If you touch any of their dead bodies, you will be defiled until evening. If you move the dead body of an unclean animal, you must immediately wash your clothes, and you will remain defiled until evening. Any animal that has divided but unsplit hooves or that does not chew the cud is unclean for you. If you touch the dead body of such an animal, you will be defiled until evening. Of the animals that walk on all fours, those that have paws are unclean for you. If you touch the dead body of such an animal, you will be defiled until evening. If you pick up and move its carcass, you must immediately wash your clothes, and you will remain defiled until evening. Of the small animals that scurry or creep on the ground, these are unclean for you. The mole, the mouse, the great lizard of all varieties, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the common lizard, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. All these small animals are unclean for you. If you touch the dead body of such an animal, you will be defiled until evening. If such an animal dies and falls on something, that object, whatever its use, will be unclean. This is true whether the object is made of wood, cloth, leather, or sackcloth. It must be put into water, and it will remain defiled until evening. After that, it will be ceremonially clean and may be used again. If such an animal dies and falls into a clay pot, everything in the pot will be defiled, and the pot must be smashed. If the water used to cleanse an unclean object touches any food, all of that food will be defiled. And any beverage that is in such an unclean container will be defiled. Any object on which the dead body of such an animal falls will be defiled. If it is a clay oven or cooking pot, it must be smashed to pieces. It has become defiled, and it will remain that way. However, if the dead body of such an animal falls into a spring or a cistern, the water will still be clean, but anyone who removes the dead body will be defiled. If the dead body falls on seed grain to be planted in the field, the seed will still be considered clean. But if the seed is wet when the dead body falls on it, the seed will be defiled. If an animal that is permitted for eating dies and you touch its carcass, you will be defiled until evening. If you eat any of its meat or carry away its carcass, you must wash your clothes. Then you will remain defiled until evening. Consider detestable any animal that scurries along the ground. Such animals may never be eaten. This includes all animals that slither along on their bellies, as well as those with four legs and those with many feet. All such animals are to be considered detestable. Never defile yourselves by touching such animals. After all, I, the Lord, am your God. You must be holy, because I am holy. So do not defile yourselves by touching any of these animals that scurry along the ground. I, the Lord, am the one who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. You must therefore be holy, because I am holy. These are the instructions regarding the land animals, the birds, and all the living things that move through the water or swarm over the earth. So you can distinguish between what is unclean and may not be eaten and what is clean and may be eaten. The Lord said to Moses, "Give these instructions to the Israelites. When a woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is defiled during her menstrual period. On the 8th day, the boy must be circumcised. Then the woman must wait for 33 days until the time of her purification from the blood of childbirth is completed. During this time of purification, she must not touch anything that is holy, and she must not go to the sanctuary until her time of purification is over. If a woman gives birth to a daughter, she will be ceremonially defiled for 2 weeks, just as she is defiled during her menstrual period. She must then wait another 66 days to be purified from the blood of childbirth. When the time of purification is completed for either a son or a daughter, the woman must bring a year-old lamb for a whole burnt offering and a young pigeon or turtle dove for a purification offering. She must take her offerings to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest will then present them to the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she will be ceremonially clean again after her bleeding at childbirth. These are the instructions to be followed after the birth of a son or a daughter. If a woman cannot afford to bring a sheep, she must bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. One will be for the whole burnt offering and the other for the purification offering. The priest will sacrifice them, thus making atonement for her, and she will be ceremonially clean. February 21st. Our reading in the New Testament today will come from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. We can come to the servant. All kinds of people came to the feet of Jesus. A well-known synagogue leader and an anonymous sick woman could find help there. Perhaps the woman's faith was a bit superstitious, but the Lord still honored it. Isn't it great news to learn to know that you don't have to get it completely right? He is merciful and gracious, our Savior and Lord. If you cannot grasp His hand, well, touch the hem of His garment. The first step of faith, no matter how weak, will lead to greater blessings. Remember, there are 1,000 ways to please God, but not one without faith. We'll learn here that the servant will go with us. No situation is so desperate that Jesus cannot work. Disease, delays, and even death are under His control. Jesus goes with you to the place of disappointment and sorrow and meets your needs. No matter how depressing your situation may appear, do not be afraid, only believe. The servant, and that's with a capital S, the servant, is working for you. And now, let's begin our Bible reading today here in the New Testament. February 21st, Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him on the shore. A leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came and fell down before Him, pleading with Him to heal his little daughter. "She is about to die," he said in desperation. "Please come and place your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and the crowd thronged behind. And there was a woman in the crowd who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years and had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she was worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel that she had been healed. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "All this crowd is pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done.
And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You have been healed. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from Jairus' home with the message, Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus ignored their comments and said to Jairus, Don't be afraid. Just trust me. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter and James and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion and the weeping and wailing. He went inside and spoke to the people. Why all this weeping and commotion? He asked. The child isn't dead. She is only asleep. The crowd laughed at him, but he told them all to go outside. Then he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Get up, little girl. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. Her parents were absolutely overwhelmed. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what had happened, and he told them to give her something to eat. Psalm chapter 38, verses 1 through 22. This is the third of what we call the penitential psalms, and it reveals what happens to you when you sin. We'll learn about what God does. See, God loves you too much to allow you to sin and get away with it. If you disobey, he will first rebuke you and then chasten you. He will shoot his arrows from a distance or come closer and put his hand on you, but he will let you know that he is displeased. What sin does? We'll learn about that. David suffered from sickness because of his sins. He carried a heavy burden and was crushed under it. He sighed and panted and was ready to quit. Sin comes as a friend to entice you and then becomes a master to enslave you. Let him who has ears to hear listen and heed. What people do? Sin puts a wall between you and those who can help you, but it builds a bridge between you and those who want to exploit you and hurt you. Now we'll learn about what the sinner must do. The only hope is to confess sin and cry out to God for mercy. He promises to forgive, so claim his promise. Psalm 38, verses 1 through 22. A Psalm of David, to bring us to the Lord's remembrance. O Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger. Don't discipline me in your rage. Your arrows have struck deep, and your blows are crushing me. Because of your anger, my whole body is sick. My health is broken because of my sins. My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I am bent over and racked with pain. My days are filled with grief. A raging fever burns within me, and my health is broken. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. You know what I long for, Lord. You hear my every sigh. My heart beats wildly, my strength fails, and I'm going blind. My loved ones and friends stay away, fearing my disease. Even my own family stands at a distance. Meanwhile, my enemies lay traps for me. They make plans to ruin me. They think up treacherous deeds all day long. But I am deaf to all their threats. I am silent before them as one who cannot speak. I choose to hear nothing, and I make no reply. For I am waiting for you, O Lord. You must answer for me, O Lord my God. I prayed, Don't let my enemies gloat over me or rejoice at my downfall. I am on the verge of collapse, facing constant pain. But I confess my sins. I am deeply sorry for what I have done.
My enemies are many. They hate me, though I have done nothing against them. They repay me evil for good, and oppose me because I stand for the right. Do not abandon me, Lord. Do not stand at a distance, my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior.
Proverbs chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. People with integrity have firm footing, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall.